I think everyone's favorite thing to talk about every year when it's time to look at the inductees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is who's being inducted, who's been passed over, how do these people in New York decide this? This is, you know, this arouses a lot of passion in people.
I'm sure it does, but it's not people in New York making this decision. I mean, there's always this kind of misconception that there's three or four people in a darkened room in Manhattan kind of like, I'm going to pick these people out.
Because I like them.
Yeah, because you like them. Maybe it's a good news story for you. I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't work that way. I mean, it's a democratic as possible process where there's a group of 35, of which Terry is a member, people that are very knowledgeable about music from a variety of backgrounds. It's, you know, people, you know, from Terry's background, it's artists, it's managers, it's other people in the business, it's writers, it's critics, the people that are chosen that have a deep knowledge of the history of rock and roll from a very disparate group. I mean, some people like a lot of different things. And people come into a room, there's not a darkened room, it's very light and they serve sandwiches. And people have to put together what their choices are. Everyone gets to pick three people or three artists, and they have to say why these people are significant, why they feel they should be inducted. It doesn't necessarily have to be about the amount of album sales that they've had or the amount of tickets they've sold. It's really looking at their significance and their contribution to the history and, you know, the current state of music as well. These artists are talked about, they're discussed, they're argued. It's done very respectfully in this room. They're voted upon to get us down to the group of generally around 15 nominees out of the initial list is probably about 50, probably, right? That those names are the nominees for that year. That goes to a larger group of people made up of past inductees and other people within the music business. That's a little under 600 people. Mm-hmm. That's voted upon to get us down to the ones we choose for induction. And then there's some side categories which we've seen that are picked by smaller committees.
Well, I know you've seen the same articles that I have that suggest that somehow that it has to do with, even in a political climate, that it's like, you know, a red state, blue state thing, or that it has something to do with ideology, you know, on the part of the bands or the artists.
Sometimes it's ideology, if people think that, you know, frankly. It's, you know, I just don't understand that, because it's not. I mean, that's how, I think a lot of it is because people want to know how it works.
Yeah.
I think it's just more of non-understanding, and people don't know how the process works, and again, they feel it's just a couple of people controlling it, but it's not. I mean, it is as kind of open and as democratic as possible, and it's really not down to people's political feelings. It's about their contributions to rock.
Do you ever talk about Yes?
All the time. All the time. Sure, like we were talking about before, once people find out what you do,
right,
you just get pounded by how come. You know, you almost want to be like in, you know, a completely different business. You see, you know what you say you do, you know where
it's
going.
That's very funny.
But the thing about it is just, artists can always be inducted. It's not something that, you know, once someone's eligible for induction, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make it that year. It's not sequential. It just happens. Mm-hmm. You know, they can keep on. There's artists that have been nominated and talked about for years before they get inducted. And it's always an open book, and people are obviously very passionate about their favorite artists.
Oh, yeah.
And they let you know about it.
You've seen a little of that, haven't you, Terry?
Virtually. Somebody stopped me out there and tried to convince me about Rush, and I know there's a bunch of Rush fans in here. I think
they had 14 platinum albums.
Yes. Now you know who stopped me out there and asked me about Rush. I think the one element that they really dislike, and I try to explain to them, they want to know why they can't be on the panel, I mean individually, or why they can't vote. And we explain to them that it is not ever going to be turned into a popularity contest like American Idol. And none of the other halls of fame do that either. Everybody uses the same process of sorts, in the sense you have a panel of experts that nominate, you have a bigger panel of experts that vote. That way it keeps it down to a group theoretically that's very knowledgeable about this. Unfortunately, they're not always going to agree with everybody's feeling about every artist getting in, and getting in when they think they should get in. I mean, we remind them that people like Jim Rice and others who have been passed over, Jim Rice for, you know, decades was passed over, and eventually athletes fall off a list. They aren't even eligible anymore unless they're submitted by a special committee. Our artists never retire, so they're never taken off the list. As long as they're with us
they're eligible, and we have a manual that lists everybody that it's 25 years after your first recording. And then we have all those listed every year, then we literally have a giant book that lists everybody that's ever been nominated, all those who have liked, should be nominated, and it's very, very detailed, and it goes deep into popular music, and you would be surprised at all the artists that are in that book that could be nominated. It's virtually anybody you could think of. Mm-hmm.
You get some nice emails, I understand.
I do. And for the sake of television, I will give you the euphemistic version. The nice ones start out, "Dear moron," and then they get worse from that. And we try to respond to all of those, as Joel said, to explain the process, whether they accept it or not, and we do get emails back saying, "Oh, thank you. I didn't think you would ever respond. I didn't know how the process worked, and I'm still sorry that Kiss or Rush didn't get in, but at least now I know." Now, certain people are never going to accept that explanation,
right?
But, you know, it's also about the passion that people have for this music. That's why we're lucky. We have a museum and an institution that celebrates an art form that means so much to all the generations that have come into existence since the 50s, and we're very proud of that. And one of the things we try to do is harness that passion. So when people stop caring, and when they stop grabbing me and saying, "Why the heck is it Rush and Dr.?" then we have a problem. That's when we have a problem.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.